Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Food Fight Radio, the show for people who spend more time thinking about where to have dinner than the time they spend eating it. You done that? I've done that.
Every time we go out,
yeah.
There's a list. It's a little embarrassing, but yeah, every time we go, we're like, where are we going? No, we just had that. No, we don't want to go there.
Well, this place has stinky cheese.
This place.
We should go there. I do that, especially when I'm on vacation. You know, forget the sites, forget the historical 2,000-year-old chapel, skip the roller coaster rides or the crystalline water coastlines. Ooh. No, I generally focus on where I'm going to eat.
Yeah, I agree. Or street fairs, getting crazy food, and then asking people where to eat. That's my favorite.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, today on Food Fight Radio, we have a special treat for everyone. We have an interview with a very special person, one of my favorite actors and comedians of all time.
Oh, you're interviewing me?
That's a nice try.
Oh.
I'll give you a hint. The Blues Brothers, Ghostbusters, Saturday Night Live, House of Blues founder, and now a brilliant vodka maker, Dan Aykroyd.
That's an awesome hint.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me think.
Well, I mean, with the Blues Brothers one, it's really easy because one of them has passed away.
Well, there was other movies, so more Blues Brothers kind of came out of that.
Like Ghostbusters, kind of a given.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to find the connecting thread that wasn't.
Bill Murray says no to everything these days, so it's not going to be Egon. No, no. Winston, he's busy. The interview will be coming up later this hour, and the video from that interview will be on our website, foodfightradio.com, as of tomorrow. Possibly even this afternoon if we can. No, not this afternoon.
There might be some this afternoon, but tomorrow definitely.
Tomorrow. Well, we got to play with it.
Yes.
A little bit to make it perfect, and because you know what, we're not a TV news crew, people, but we are on the radio.
On the radio.
You would think that we would have some kind of specialist audio equipment for gathering this sort of information. This event was just sort of sprung on us at the last minute here,
uh-huh.
And you know what. We're just lucky that we weren't taking the video with a chopstick shoved into the bottom of a Twinkie as a microphone and then like pointing my iPhone at everything. Look into the iPhone.
Look into the iPhone.
People, this is the crack team of super equipment savvy personnel that we have. Keep it tuned right here if you want to hear that. And if you miss it, it sucks to be you. This is Food Fight Radio. Now, I want to talk about my recent food poisoning, because this is irking me. Berries did this to me, fresh berries. And, you know, we're always being told that we should eat more berries and fresh fruits and vegetables, all that kind of stuff. People generally, they get these things. They're nice. They're fresh. They're organic, whatever. The manure that they put around these things, by the way, is also organic. So when you take these things home,
poop. You've
got organic poop on your food. You take it home, you rinse it many, many times with water. I know that they make special veggie washes.
Yeah.
But not everyone uses them. And I generally didn't till now. Now I have 9 gallons of it. But a week ago, I did my normal thing. You get the fruits and veggies. You know, you want to eat them, but you don't want to follow a 9-step protocol to the point where you can actually eat these things. So you wash them very, very thoroughly in tap water, right? This is what you do. And then you eat them in whatever. You throw them in a salad, you put them in stuff, veggies, okay, eat them, dip. You're told that you should eat these things uncooked because they're better for you when they're uncooked. And then what happens? 12 hours later, you're sick as a dog. So, yeah, and on that, by the way, have you ever seen a sick dog?
Yes.
Really? Because I've never seen a sick dog.
You
and I
are
don't
lucky.
Know that,
that's a blessed life.
I don't know that dogs get any more sick than people.
Oh, heck yeah.
Or really, do they look like super drooly and pathetic when they're sick?
It's almost looking like they're turning themselves inside out when they get sick.
Oh, well then that sick as a dog thing, that actually works.
Yes.
Because that's what happened to me, precisely. I was a human sea cucumber, and I turned inside out. This is what happens when Claire gets food poisoning. The insides become the outsides, and you don't want to see it. So days, of course, I go through this. And you can get, okay, from fresh fruits and veggies, you can get listeria, you can get salmonella, you can get E. coli, all the foodborne bacterial infestations that typically wreak havoc on the population and your body, you get normally from fresh fruits and vegetables. This is what happens. I now hate fresh berries so much that I will only eat them cooked. And I was thinking I would only also eat them flash frozen because I have a nice big bag of frozen berries. And I'm thinking freezing will kill almost anything. And now Marcus is telling me no.
No. Now, there is freezing to a point where it was killing. Like, what is it? The sushi grade freezing, the sashimi freezing goes low enough to kill everything. But everything else, the bacteria pretty much makes a husk around itself. Like, makes its own little saliva jacket to keep it safe.
That's really sick.
And then it hibernates until the temperature comes back up to where it can make babies. Or no, just divide, I guess, is how they do it.
Which means in your tummy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's frozen when you put it in a smoothie,
mm-hmm.
and then you eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only way it's coming back up to temperature is in your guts.
Yeah, but hopefully the acid in your stomach will devour it before then.
Really? Because I ate the berries, mm-hmm. and you would think that the stomach acid would have taken care of these little bacterium buddies of yours.
Now, I've heard of people getting sick off lettuce and cabbages.
Okay, but you eat that too. So clearly the acid in your stomach isn't really doing its job. If something can survive that, it's not doing its job. And why isn't your stomach acid powerful enough to kill those things? Is it because it would also have to eat your stomach lining in order to do that? Because these little bacteriums have better defense than any nation on the planet, really. And making a husk out of saliva? Mm-hmm. Bacteria have saliva?
Well, bacteria, they make a husk out of something.
I didn't even know that bacteria had a mouth.
Well, no, they just excrete it, kind of like slime.
It's really gross.
Yeah, it's bacteria, if you see them up close, aren't pretty. They're not
really
winning.
Have you ever seen a tick up close or like a bed bug up close? It's just, absolutely disgusting. The ticks, the little eight-legged ticks that you see in the microscope, it's a good thing they're microscopic. Because if you ever saw this thing with the naked eye, you'd flip out and you'd never go back into that room. But they're creepy.
Yes.
They're very alien looking. And they have like like this little spiky thing coming out of their head. So it looks like they have this weird little fro. But it's always on spinach, these bacteria. It's always on spinach or lettuce or fruit. You know, I've never been poisoned by SpaghettiOs. I've never been poisoned by mac and cheese. I've never been poisoned by American cheese slices. That thing that happened to me, that was worse than anything alcohol has ever done to me, by the way. Way worse. So, driving back from a Vegas convention with food poisoning. That's Good what time. I did last week. Where's my medal? Or a tiny shrub with my name on it for my desk or something. All I'm saying is I deserve something for having survived that. That was rough. That was, I think, more rough than the experience of having a child. Not the whole 9 months, but I'm talking about that end part there, you know, where the kid actually comes out. That cumulatively, I think, because there's no joyous part of it. There's no part of it where you get to the, oh, that's worth the pain. No, nothing is worth that. It's horrifying. And so what I'm saying is, don't feel too inclined, people, to eat too many fresh fruits and berries. Oh, antioxidants, cancer prevention. No. Cook them, okay? Cook them and eat them. A little bit more work, but then again, so is driving back from Las Vegas with food poisoning. It's a lot of work. You don't want to put yourself through that. It's horrible. It takes many more hours than it really needs to during a windy gale storm and flash rainstorms, by the way.
That's right. That was this week, huh?
And heavy traffic and bad experience all the way around. And did I go there for pleasure? No, it was not a vacation. We went there for work. We went there to a convention. Yeah, but they have these conventions there.
Like illegal in Vegas?
No, not actually. But the conventions they have there, they put them in Vegas so that you will actually go. See?
Yeah, that makes sense because it's hot as... Yeah. Well, Vegas.
Yeah, yeah, and it's nice. You want to go. Coming up after the break, getting your kids to eat real food. Although I can see why you'd want to skip the berries. The mac and cheese is probably safer. Keep it tuned to Food Fight Radio on KCBQ.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Mira Mesa. Eat in, take out, or delivery. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. Knockout Pizza Miramesa.com. Limited delivery area.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineIn, the number 2, night.com, or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, folks, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. Coming up this hour, we've got our interview with the super awesome, super amazing, super friendly Dan Aykroyd, so stay tuned for that. And in case you weren't with us last week, we were in the studio in our pajamas. Marcus had big bear feet, like a bear. I had my super cool sushi pajamas. You can check out the photos on our Facebook page for that. This, of course, was done to raise meteor awareness. Yep, just so you are aware, there are meteors. Not that you can do anything about it, just so you're aware, you know.
Just so you know.
We have puce ribbons.
Puce? What?
Puce.
Puce. Isn't that like when you get cut and it gets infected, it makes all that puce?
No, it's like fuchsia, but a little less lavender and a bit more pink.
Fuchsia.
So what's with all these ribbons, by the way? Everything has a ribbon. So everyone is aware that there is breast cancer, so I don't know how much we really need those pink ribbons anymore. I think some other cause should be able to take pink, and I think that's us for meteor awareness. Meteor. That'll be pink. I guess you could parlay your newfound meteor awareness into building an underground bunker or something.
Oh, there we go.
But really, what are you going to do? You're not going to do anything about the meteors. This is very similar to what happens to most people when they see a ribbon for something. And there's a lot of them. It's a little confusing. It's not that I think they aren't all great causes, because I do. It's just sometimes that you have no clue what they mean. I recently learned what the puzzle ribbon means.
Autism.
Now, see, this, you know, this, you do this in your free time. The teal one is for colorectal cancer.
Colorectal.
Which one is for low blood sugar?
Colorectal.
Is that one available?
For low blood sugar?
Yeah, that one's a big deal, too. Is there a generally stupid ribbon? You know, there's developmentally challenged ribbon, maybe there's the autistic ribbon. Do they have a ribbon just for people who are generally stupid? Because they should be treated a little bit differently, too. I mean, you should help them out. You should kind of help them open doors and get upstairs and things. That ribbon might be available, maybe mustard color.
I was thinking shiny, because they would be attracted to it themselves. And Ooh. You can tell that they're suffering from it because they just keep on looking at the ribbon.
Uh-huh.
Oh, shiny.
Shiny. Shiny ribbon. Shiny like a ribbon. Mirror ribbon. They'll get confused and bump into it. They'll think it's a friend. That'll get you treated differently, but it also could be a good way to warn people.
Mm-hmm.
Then no one will ever want to borrow your car, right?
Yes.
There's an I'm stupid ribbon right on your car. No one is ever going to want to borrow that car.
That's true. And if you know they have the ribbon, you know to never let them borrow your car.
Right. Or epilepsy. You know, if you have an I'm epileptic ribbon on your car, no one will ever want to drive with you. So you don't have to worry about people bumming rides. Because you may have a spasm and crash.
Narcolepsy.
Right?
Yeah.
How about a nice olive green ribbon to raise awareness for dirty E. coli covered berries? How about that? How about a nice orange one to raise cancer prevention awareness through diet and chemical avoidance and stuff? We are aware that people get cancer. We don't like it, but most people are generally pretty helpless to do anything about it. Why don't you just call it a colonoscopy ribbon? Or, you know, or a touchy-feely ribbon. Or a, hey, doc, why don't you buy me a drink first ribbon? You know, make the intention of the ribbon a bit more clear, because people see the ribbon, they go, aw, cancer. But they don't know what to do about it. People are generally really helpless. And aside from donating the occasional buck or two to these things, what are people going to do? You're letting them know that you're a better person than they are because you are doing something for this cause. What are you doing? You put a ribbon on your car. You put a colored sticker ribbon on your nice new Hyundai. You slapped it on your bumper right next to the my kid goes to this whatever elementary school sticker. Nobody cares where your kid goes to school or if they're an honor student there. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Just like no one's going to really care about doing something for something that they don't know about it. Just because you have a sticker on your car, if it makes you feel proud that you're helping out this cause, great. Keep it to yourself. If you need other people's approval to feel good about what you are doing, you're in it for the wrong reasons. Okay? And if you're not doing anything to inform people, if you're not in a position to do anything to inform people about this cause, don't even bother with the sticker. It's nice that you feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have to share our feelings with everyone about every little thing that we're doing all the time. That's what Twitter and Instagram are for.
So you're saying if I have a ribbon, have an action plan, say, oh, I'm bringing awareness to, let's say, breast cancer.
Yeah.
I would like it if people would fill in the blank.
Yes, I would like it if people would blank.
Yes.
Because otherwise, what are they going to do? They're going to know that you are aware. They're going to know that you, hey, want to make everyone aware. Making people aware isn't going to cure anything.
Yeah.
You know, hey, there's breast cancer. I know there's breast cancer. What are we going to do about it?
What are we going to do about it?
Yeah. So how to get your kids to eat real food. Like I said, skip the berries. We both have kids.
Yeah.
And mine are 3 and 5.
Mm-hmm. Mine are 3 and 2 months.
3 and 2 months. So 3 and 0.
Yes.
Yeah. And his diet is pretty much set. I mean, he's got it all wrapped up. He doesn't have to worry about it.
He's on a liquid diet.
He's on an all liquid diet. Much like our wonderful friend Jeff, our board op. What do you got in there? What do you got that mug? It don't look like coffee to me. We have to sometimes get super tricky to feed our kids. And a lot of this, you know, you start feeding your kids kind of junk food because they're really tiny and really cute. So you want to give them cute stuff to eat. You know, oh, look, he's so cute when he's chewing on that marshmallow. Oh, look, he's got a popcorn kernel stuck in his nose. It's so cute. I'll take a picture of that. So now they're used to eating garbage because you want to make your cute little adorable baby happy. You know, and broccoli isn't like what they see on TV that the happy children in the commercials are eating.
Oh, no.
The happy kids in the commercials are eating Lucky Charms and those Lunchables, which are gross and they're bad for you. Mm. Anyone giving your kids Lunchables, you're shirking your responsibilities as a parent. Honestly.
Yeah, that's just flour and butter, little crackers, and processed meat and cheeses full of salt.
You should be slapped.
You should give them a salt lick.
Yeah, give them a salt lick. Send them to school with a salt lick. You know, that's about how responsible a parent you look like when you're sending your kid to school with a Lunchable.
Lunchable.
Yeah, is sausage.
But it's
and
so easy.
A crack. It's so easy. You know, just come on. Reach into your fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a cheese stick. Give them a little thing of yogurt.
Yes.
Give them a piece of fruit. Oh, I have to peel the fruit and cut it up into small pieces. Why? Why do you have to do that? Yeah. Give them a piece of fruit and make them eat it.
Yeah.
Do you have to take the skin off? No. The skin's kind of good for you. It's good for their teeth anyway. Mm. Give them a banana. Oh, they won't want to eat a banana because it's not convenient for them to eat. Stop babying the kids. Really. Make them eat real food like my parents made me eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was I going to school with the little chocolate and peanut butter sandwiches? No, I wasn't. I was going to school with vegetables.
Vegetables.
And like a homemade wheat bread, all natural homemade peanut butter sandwich. You ever had that? It's really greasy. It separates. The oil comes out, makes your bread. Your bread has the whole wheat berry in it.
Yeah.
It's chunky. It's hard to chew because every once in a while you get a nut you're going to break your tooth on. So you're gumming this oily sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Not fun.
Not fun.
But I did it because, I needed to survive.
Yeah, right? It's the only food you knew.
parents need to adopt a similar, I'm not saying torture your kids with the food because no. I'm not happy with that experience that I had, but had the food been slightly more normal but required just as much work getting used to, yeah, that would have been good. It's better for the kid, honestly, long run. And, you know, it's things you can do to try and get your kid to eat slightly more healthy food. Marcus, what do you have up your sleeve?
Well, I know, like, with my little girl, she will eat anything. I'm pretty lucky. She raised on veggies, and then so the first real solid food she had were veggies and that. So, of course, always don't give them junk food at first. But if you already had, there's always peanut butter, sugary peanut butter in celery, sugary peanut butter with carrots, sugary peanut butter with fill in the blank what you want them to eat more. You know, just kind of mixing in what they like with what you want them to eat and slowly taking out what you don't want them to eat anymore is a way to get them acclimated and used to whatever food you want them to eat.
Right, and there's also turning hot dogs into octopus.
That's always fun.
Yeah, so you take a knife, and about two-thirds of the way up, you start carving into the hot dog, mm-hmm. and you start segmenting out these little legs. 6 legs, 8 legs. An octopus have 8 legs, obviously, yeah. But you don't have to be correct here, no. Because if you make 8, the legs are too skinny, they might break off. Mm-hmm. 6 is plenty, but hey, if you're an artist with the paring knife, you can go for 8. And then you just wedge them out, mm-hmm. you know, like little orange segments all the way around the side of the hot dog. Meet the knife cut in the center. And then you prop them out. You can also use the knife and, you know, bits of pimentos or whatever you have lying around the house to put in eyes and a nose.
Mm-hmm. That's really cute.
Or just make it a little hole. I mean, it still looks like a little octopus face. You can just put that on top and put it on top of whatever you want your kid to eat. You know, mm-hmm. noodles.
Noodles, whole grain noodles.
Whole grain noodles or the spinach ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're kind of grainy. But if you put a little butter on them, put a little sauce on them, they're perfectly fine. You know, put a little simple, chunky, diced tomato pasta sauce on there. Mm-hmm. It's easy enough to buy these things ready-made. And a yeah. lot of times, to get the organic ones, they're perfectly healthy. You know, there's nothing wrong with using a canned or jarred pasta sauce.
No, just...
As long as you add some extra stuff to it.
Yeah,
to try and fill out the nutritious side of it a little bit more, put in some extra chunky whole tomatoes, put in some more spices. These things are basically blank slates. I don't think that you're supposed to have them as they are.
No.
I don't think that's how they were intended.
Yeah.
I think they were meant as, here's your piece of paper,
mm-hmm.
add something to it.
Exactly.
And then it's your job to doodle. You know, but they give you the paper.
Yeah.
They're not making you make the paper, which is nice, I think. So... Other things that you can do to get your kids to eat more food, you can take vegetables and turn them into creatures or bugs.
They love that.
Yeah.
Carving little legs out and little eyes out. It's super simple.
Little mushroom top. Little... Stick pretzels in as legs.
Yes.
And you've got spiders.
Mm-hmm. Or going fishing. We did this for my little girl's birthday, and now it works for health foods. You get pretzel sticks, peanut butter, and that's a fishing rod, and you have them use the sticky peanut butter to pick up.
The fish.
The fish.
The goldfish
which
crackers.
Can be goldfish, but you can also use grapes. You can also use anything that they want to eat, little bits of broccoli, and they can eat it with the peanut butter, and it's tasty.
Mm-hmm.
She does that now.
Yeah, these are good. You can also make skewers of grapes or other mm-hmm. round berry-type things as caterpillars.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, you can put little antennae in them. So basically, here's what you want. You want some pretzels,
mm-hmm.
sticks. You want some vegetables. You want some peanut butter. And then you want some raisins, because I always like to do the bugs on a log, right? If you make it sound buggy mm-hmm. or gross or slimy mm-hmm. or make it into a cute little insect or animal of some type, your kid will eat it.
Yeah, just tell them they're a dinosaur and here's a little guy and they'll eat it right up.
Yeah, forget about the fact that it's delicious. Okay? You know, if you say, try it, it's delicious, that doesn't work on kids.
No,
you know, because they're not going to, they don't know how to imagine a delicious taste. So they're like, you know, taste, okay, if it's on TV and people are telling me that it's brightly colored and I want to eat it, yes, they will want to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make something look like a critter, they will eat it. Next up after the break, we're going to be talking about the cutest, most tasty thing you can make for your Easter dinner. I like to give my whole Jewish family a nice ham because that never gets old. But we're not talking about that today. You got to stay tuned to find out. This is Food Fight on KCBQ.
When our kids started school,
I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried the supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through eighth grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized and
don't forget motivating
education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
For over 7 years, Modern Dentistry, the office of Dr. Amir Majavar and his friendly professional team members, have been providing quality and affordable care to San Diegans all over the county. Specializing in state-of-the-art cosmetic and family dentistry, including children ages 3 and up, porcelain crowns, veneers and lumineers, Invisalign, teeth whitening, and metal-free restorations. Rest assured the care you'll receive will be with the utmost precision and quality, and provided in a caring, nurturing, and virtually pain-free environment. Having completed a residency in cosmetic dentistry and over 200 successful Invisalign cases, Dr. Majavar is highly trained to create a beautiful smile just for you. Their office is designed with comfortable chairs, ceiling-mounted TVs, and noise-canceling headphones. Call Modern Dentistry and see what a difference a healthy, beautiful smile can make in your life. Go to sdmoderndentistry.com or call 858-259-4765. 858-259-4765.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Mira Mesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiraMesa.com.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio on KCBQ. I'm your hostess, who misses hostess, Claire Katz. You know that wall they used to have at 7-Elevens that was covered end-to-end with all those great hostess cakes?
Yes.
Yeah, with the unusual ones, the strawberry-topped, striped tiger tails, and the orange cupcakes.
I love the zingers, the tiger tails. Those were my favorite.
Those were good. Of course, now that hostess has gone under, no one has picked up the slack, making me angry. The cloud cake is a perfectly fine version of a Twinkie. In fact, it's probably a little bit better. So what's taking so long? I mean, it's not difficult to come up with an orange cupcake, a little striped strawberry thing with coconut. It's not that difficult, people.
I found a zinger substitute, but if things didn't sell, nobody's going to pick them up. I mean, that
all they have to do is put them in the same place. Put them in sheer cellophane wrapping. That's it. I mean, if people will see it, they buy it. They see it, they buy it. It's a cake. It sells itself. It's at a gas station. People go in there when they're hungry. You have a captive market. I mean, it's a captive audience. Tiny turduckins. That's the Easter surprise we're going to be talking about today.
Tiny turduckins. Yay!
It's like a regular turducken, only it's tiny.
It's tiny.
It's a miniaturized turducken. And the thing you want to use for that is a quail.
Got it.
They're itty-bitty. So you take a quail egg, hard-boiled quail egg. You can get quail eggs at any Asian grocery store. They have them, these cute little dozens. You know, it looks just like a regular dozen eggs, only it's tiny. So you take those home, you hard boil them. It only takes like 3 minutes. You crack the quail egg. You have a nice little hard boiled quail egg. You wrap that thing in sausage. Right? You get your ground sausage. Throw in some spices, some breadcrumbs. You
know, I love using chorizo when I put sausage inside a turducken.
Nice. You can mix regular sausage with chorizo.
Yeah, that way it won't be so oily.
Yeah, because otherwise it'll be grease just flowing out of that thing because chorizo is really greasy.
Yes.
Mix chorizo with anything. Nice choice because otherwise bland quail egg, mm-hmm. bland quail meat. And so, yeah, you want something really flavorful on the inside. You cram it around that quail egg like you're packing a snowball. And then you stuff it into the quail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's not a lot of room inside a quail.
No.
So you're not going to be packing a whole lot of sausage in there. But then you shove it in there. You probably have a few. Stop laughing. This is a serious a serious food conversation.
Yes, yes, of course.
Stop it. And then you wrap that thing with bacon, and then you roast it. Another thing you can do is put sauces on top. Mm-hmm. Makes it extra pretty. I like a cherry and port sauce. So now, you take your dried cherries, you soak them with port, and then you kind of cook those down with a little garlic, a little chicken broth. What do you suggest?
Well, what about wrapping it with prosciutto? Would that be better, or would that dry out too quick?
It would dry out, but you're going to be smothering it with sauce anyway, so yeah, that will also work very, very nicely. Mm-hmm. Plus, prosciutto is see-through.
Yeah.
And very glass-like and very shiny,
that's
very pretty.
Thinking. And not bacon.
Also, I start drooling whenever I see prosciutto.
Me also.
So that's a nice choice. Mm-hmm. You know, anyone's looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me, prosciutto is always a good way to go. And from the nicer the pig, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's these Iberico ones, and they have black feet.
Hmm.
They're really cool. Generally, you can only get that stuff in Europe.
Yeah.
And getting it through customs is a pain. And you usually have to pretend that it's like, I don't know, imported hair mask or something just to get it through customs. Other things you can do with tiny turduckens is you can, instead of using a quail, if you want a little bit more room for your stuffing, you can use a Cornish game hen.
There we go.
You can use a squab.
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 Now, these would be served personally, right? Like, everybody would get their
Everyone
own.
Everyone gets
little...
their own.
Nice.
You're not going to be carving a quail.
I know. I was just thinking about that. I'm like, that sounds like a lot of...
The knife is bigger than the bird. I mean, you'd be like, you know, you need a pair of tweezers to pick up a little slice of breast meat. I mean, come on. There's not a lot of meat on a quail, folks.
No.
I mean, you want two, probably, per person, mm-hmm. if you really want to make a well-rounded plate.
Now, would you debone them first and then wrap it around it, or just
You
leave
can get them deboned.
Right on.
You're not going to be deboning these things yourself. I mean, that's, like, harder than playing a game of Operation. I mean, you're not getting the... Where is it? You're not.
Bone?
You can't find those things in there. You can also use rabbits.
Rabbits.
As I said on an earlier show, rabbits are the new chicken.
Mm-hmm. And again, you can find them at Asian markets. I find bunches of rabbits there. They have them all the time.
They have this whole crevice in the middle of their bodies where the guts used to be. Mm-hmm. That's where the stuffing goes.
Now, would you put the whole quail that stuffed with other stuff in there?
Yeah, or that. Two.
There we go.
You get a deboned quail, shove it full of eggs and the sausage and everything, and then you cram it into the rabbit.
Nice.
Yeah, and then dress it up. You get your sauce. You can wrap that with prosciutto and bacon. I mean, you can kind of do whatever you want. Roast that thing with some carrots, some turnips, things that are, you know, root vegetables or any kind of vegetable. You want to bring out the sweetness.
Yeah, yeah, and root vegetables are great, too, if you're using really greasy sausage because they'll absorb a lot of the oil that's coming out of the sausage.
And anyways. It will make a nice, healthy, vegetarian piece of vegetable full of animal fat.
Yes.
Which, in my opinion... always works, right? And of course, it's very good for feeding your vegan guests, right?
No.
It's vegetables. It's just a side of vegetables. What? Here, have some, and enjoy it. And then they're these are the best vegetables I've ever had in my life. And then you're snickering in a corner, going, "I just made you eat animal fat. There's chorizo oil in there." And then
that's,
they leave.
That's not nice.
But you know, then they don't come back. So win-win.
What? What?
See, I've never done this to your family.
No.
And I would never do this to your family. But I'm sure there are some people in your life that always manage to get themselves invited to your parties and you want to play tricks on them.
Yes.
I mean, we have coworkers that don't eat pork.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always messing with him.
Yeah. We've never actually done anything, but we always allude to it.
And he's always scared. We pretend that we have.
He's always scared we're going to give him something. We're like, yeah, this
which
might
means he's not going to eat that stuff.
No.
Yeah.
Which means I get to later. And
we like to mess with our guests. I like a little lettuce nest for these cute little turduckens. So get creative, definitely. Coming up next after this break, we have an interview with the multi-talented, multifaceted diamond known as Dan Aykroyd. He's always been one of my favorites. We've got him when we come back after the break. Keep it tuned, or you'll just have to wait until we update our website. And if you're anything like me, you're just not that patient. This is Food Fight Radio on KCBQ.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs, ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata? Roast beef with Dijon sauce. Roasted red snapper. Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms. Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineintonight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. charlescole.com.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. We've got our taped interview with Dan Aykroyd, and let me tell you all first how this came about. Dan is in town promoting his Crystal Head Vodka, and being a dear, close, personal friend of mine and owing me a big favor after having saved his dinner party that time, Dan was not about to leave town without first interviewing with us. Hey, when your Beurre Blanc starts to separate, you want to make sure you've got professional help. We Canadians really stick together. Let's have that interview, Jeff.
I was a little perplexed at opening lesser expensive, non-premium brands and finding that when I opened the bottle, they smelled like Chanel No. 5. And I thought, why does it smell like perfume? And then I would taste some other non-premium products, and they tasted kind of oily and thick, and they had a velvety kind of satiny finish that they taste very fake. They were very artificial tasting. And
was it the cake flavor that tipped you off?
Well, flavors is a whole other subject in this industry, and one that you could do a seminar on. But I was really perplexed at what, why would they add this oily texture, and why does it smell like perfume? So I began to do some research and found out that a lot of lesser premium vodkas add propylene glycol as a smoothener. They add citrus oil as a sweetener, and then raw sugar. So my partners and I began to devise a concept of perhaps doing a vodka for today, a vodka which is primarily to service the clean and green consciousness that is overtaking the world now, to maybe make an effort to take out in the industrial additives and do what is known in the industry as a pure spirit. So when we thought of the idea of doing the pure spirit. It then came to us that a vessel needed to be designed, and I was with my friend John Alexander, we were in New York at his loft in a blizzard, and I was telling him about, you know, our concept.
Good time to drink, right?
We were having Patron XO that night. I'll never forget it, which is perfect for a winter's evening. And I said, John, we were talking beverages, and John said he wanted to do a skull bottle. He said, I'd always like to do a beverage in a skull bottle. I said, well, I have the fluid we should put in it. A clean, stripped out, no glycol, no supersoil, no sugar vodka. So I said, draw up a bottle and, send it to me in a couple of months. I know it's going to take you that long to do it. And I turned around, I took a sip of my XO, turned around, and in 2 minutes he drew up a bottle. It was our bottle with a nice little grin on it. Beautiful. I looked at it. I said, this looks like one of the crystal heads, which is perfect. We can sell a legend of positive thinking, positive drinking, enlightened drinking. I knew when the bottle was executed, it would be so beautiful, white, and clear that the only thing we could put in it was a non-polluted substance. Hence, we have Crystal Head today, a non-polluted, no glycol, no citrus oil, no sugar vodka that has won the double gold of the 2011 San Francisco World Spirits Competition. Our notes are sweet, vanilla, dry, crisp, with a kick of heat off the finish. We don't mask the alcohol. It's merely the government-manufactured mash. Four times distilled, three times through charcoal filtered, three times through diamonds, which you asked me about.
You have the knowledge of vodka that a chemist, I think, would normally have. This skull thing, I would have thought that would have been something that you would have thought of, because I know that you've always been interested in parapsychology. That's what inspired the original movie Ghostbusters and so on.
I can talk about the origin of the package and John's interest in the Day of the Dead, but just to finish on the vodka production, we do use the Newfoundland water, and we have won the double gold award with our notes sweet, vanilla, dry, crisp, with a kick off heat off the finish. We've also won an award in Moscow at the Moscow Bar Show, and if Russians don't know vodka, I think it's incredible that we've... Well, I shouldn't say that. I think it's worthy of the quality of our product that we have won a tasting award in Russia.
My husband is Russian, and yes, you know exactly what you're talking about. Yes,
it was very carefully thought out. The skull bottle came out of John's love of the Day of the Dead, of course, celebrating the afterlife, the survival of consciousness in the afterlife. We see it as a crystal head. It is the skull bottle. It is the vodka in the skull. It's the skull vodka. But we call it, our brand calls it crystal head. It's a living thing. It's a common link to humanity. We all have one of those skulls. You have one, I have one, and it's going to look like that someday. But we see it as a living thing, as does the Day of the Dead in the Hispanic tradition. The crystal heads were used by the Navajo, the Mayans, and the Aztec. They were supposed to, in legend, they were supposed to have been... From the Star Children, origins of an extraterrestrial nature. They were used as scrying devices, crystal balls, because they are solid quartz objects. And quartz, of course, has piezoelectric properties, which is a story.
Right. Who wouldn't know that?
Engineers, most of you, if you've got a cousin, a brother, a friend who's into computers, that's full of quartz and storage capacity there from quartz, and also your cell phone has it. So these were primitive quartz storage devices, according to the Mayan, the Navajo, and the Aztec. And it's perfect for us because we're selling the legend of purity. We're selling the concept of stripped down, no additive vodka. And we're winning medals all around the world. We've got 4 million bottles sold. So it's not only the intrigue of the package, but it's also what we've put in it.
The coolness of the package for me is a big, big part of it. That's what originally got me interested in the purchase.
What?
And then after that, it was just the pure, clean taste of it and the usability in my own home bar. Have you ever considered making a cheaper crystal head refill that could be purchased in addition and in conjunction with the original skull bottle?
No, we have a beautiful line right now. We have a 50 ml mini bottle, we have a 750 ml. We got a 1.75. We have a 3 liter. We have a gift pack with a martini glass and the 1.5. We have a gift pack with our 750 and two shot glasses.
So that means no. That means no if you want it by the skull. Which, by the way, is I have a freezer full of skulls and a pantry full of skulls. Hence my asking the question of a refill bottle, because it's a shame to throw them away. You don't want to throw them away.
It's true. I have many, many bottles, myself, and I'm building a wall. There are artist projects around the world that are using them. But I think after you put roses in them three or four times, you know, there's a kind of an algae that grows. So you can throw those away. But a lot of people turn them into art projects. No, we think that the bottle is really a large part of the origin of the business, and we don't want to be, we're not a well product, we're a premium product, government manufactured, and I think we'll stay with the vessel that we're doing. As you asked about flavors before, we're in the vodka flavored vodka business, and that's where we're going to remain. As far as
I like the vodka flavor. I know you have a love of the blues and a history with the blues. Obviously, you founded the House of Blues. So, does the blues lead to vodka, or does vodka lead to blues?
Immoderate and extreme use of any alcoholic beverage can lead to very bluesy things happening, such as perhaps arrest and angry reactions from people who might not be used to your behavior. So,
not with your vodka, because it's so pure.
Well, but yes, it's pure. Oh, yeah, I can do five or six shots, but anything beyond that, we are dealing with alcohol, so you have to be careful. But no, I would say vodka would lead to blues more than blues would lead to vodka.
I'd have to agree. I know that after years of pushing, you're getting the new Ghostbusters 3 movie made. Care to possibly spoil something for me?
I think we're closer than ever.
So, Venkman?
Well, there'll always be a place for Billy. Always. I love him dearly, and it's up to him, you know. Yeah.
So we're not divulging as to whether or not he's actually signed on?
Well, Billy's not a part of the project now. He would have to tell people that he was, but he's told everyone that he wants not to be a part of it.
He looks like he could be manipulated, I think.
I don't have that power. Maybe you do. I would manipulate him right in there, but he... Look, he's done the role two times.
Have you seen Lost in Translation? I mean, he'll pretty much...
And he's doing much more interesting work than perhaps going back and doing a character that he's done twice already. So,
a character that everybody loves, which I think everyone would agree, and you could maybe, I don't know, tell him. I don't speak for the whole world, but maybe, yeah, yes, I do. I speak for the whole world when I say he should definitely come back in Ghostbusters 3.
I agree. I'm the biggest cheerleader of all, so we'll see. There'll always be a place for him, but as of tonight, you know, he doesn't want to be there.
So do you have an update on the Conehead beer and vodka label?
Well, that would be a licensing issue. I'd have to deal with Paramount Pictures, and I think we'll leave that one alone.
So, you've really never in your career really played a character that I didn't like. I think I've watched Trading Places a million times. I watch it every Christmas. It is my favorite Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
It's as much a Christmas movie, even more so, I think, than Die Hard, which I usually also watch every Christmas.
Also a Christmas movie, yes.
By far one of the best.
Sort of. Yeah, yeah.
It is. The Stay Puft thing, truly classic. I use a lot of your lines, actually, in my radio show and in daily life. It always gets a laugh.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. So I've always really admired your work, and I've always loved all your characters. It was my birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday. Jeez. Well, geez. Come on.
I just got kissed by Dan Aykroyd, just FYI, and
happy birthday, by all means.
This is the best birthday ever. And that we cut off something at the end there, which we're going to be playing at the end of the show. It's not my husband slapping Dan Aykroyd for kissing me. It's actually I asked Dan Aykroyd to say a world famous line from a skit he did on Saturday Night Live, which we're going to be playing a little bit later. It's going to be a little surprise, and the word which we're not allowed to say on the air is going to be bleeped over by a sound clip provided by our brilliant and handy and technologically savvy board op Jeff, who takes all the fun out of everything for me. Thanks, Jeff. But we do get to play it,
And everyone is familiar with that that skit, and so everyone will be able to appreciate that I got Dan Aykroyd to say it to me.
He is such a sweet guy.
Isn't he awesome?
We saw him earlier the day. I was in the Vodka signing, and there was 1,000 people there. And then when we saw him later for this interview, I went to reintroduce myself. He saw 1,000 people. How would he remember me? And he's like, no, I totally remember you.
He remembered you.
Yeah, just like that.
And it's not just because you're strangely dressed and freakishly tall.
Yeah, it was nice. It's just such... I was humbled by what a great guy that
is. Yeah, he was really, really cool. That was a history lesson for me. There was some great art lesson. I mean, people are turning these bottles into art. We wanted to continue a conversation about how we can use vodka in our daily recipes. But we probably will have to do that on the next hour because we will be going to a commercial break. We'll pick up on that when we do come back from the next break. Dan Aykroyd really is a pure spirit. Forget about the drink he makes. He's the pure spirit. This is, of course... My buddy Dan taking an opportunity to push his new baby. I would never tell him that he can't do that when interviewing with us for the show. And, you know, he wanted to talk about it. So we let him talk about it. We at this show, however, would never advocate or promote alcohol or its consumption. We recommend this product for the bottle alone. It is so completely cool. If you don't want to drink what's in it, fine. Dump it out. You know, a lot of people I know, they'd probably dump it out. Give it to somebody you know. Okay. Mm. Keep the bottle.
That bottle is so cool.
It is the wickedest bottle I think I've ever seen. I'm an artsy, craftsy, creative person. So are you. So are most of the people who consider themselves foodies who like to experiment with food. These are creative nature people. They see this bottle, they start thinking of things they can make in it. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Give away the spirit inside, fine. But you're going to be making infused oils in this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be going crazy making flavored everything with this. Flavored vinegars. I mean... My gosh, you can make so many things in this bottle, and is the coolest looking thing. Fine, you know what? Use it as a planter if you're not very creative. But I love the bottle. I really just love the bottle.
We saw people making mosaics out of them and tile art out of them.
Selling them. Yeah, coming up in the next hour, we're going to be covering a very serious topic: forced insect labor rights. Stay tuned, vegans and diehard entomologists. You want to hear this? Coming up next.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.